Welcome to another episode of Northern Transmissions. Thanks as always for listening. I sat down with Charlie and Brandon from Crocodiles just before they were hopping on stage at the Electric Owl in beautiful Vancouver, BC. Why don't we get into some music right away? Let's check out the title track from the 2010 release, Sleep Forever. That track that was Sleep Forever from Crocodiles off the Sleep Forever 2010 release. We first chatted a bit about the band's sound. They grew up in San Diego and where they picked up their influence, their psychedelic electronic British sound, as well as being compared to bands, of course, like Echo and the Bunnymen and Jesus and Mary Chain.
Well, you know, San Diego had a pretty rich, like, from about the mid-90s, the early 90s, to the early 2000s, there was a pretty big scene for kind of, like, noisy, abrasive punk, you know, not traditional, not Misfits or Black Flag or something, but, you know, just a more fucked up, skewed version of that kind of stuff. You know, that was really influential on us when we were growing up, you know, because that was kind of like what the older kids who we looked up to were doing, you know, and bands we'd go to see and stuff like that. So there was a big audience for kind of like weirder, noisier music at one point. When we started Crocodiles, that was on top. It was pretty hard for the first year that we were doing Crocodiles in San Diego. I mean, we got started touring right away, you know, we like self-financed a 7-inch so we could get on the road, you know, and that was when we were just a 2-piece, it was easy to tour, and yeah, it was notable that, you know, we would play in San Diego, bottom of the bill, clear the room, and then we'd go to like New York and 200 or 300 people would come, you know, and frustrating, but it gives you something, you know. And then now we can go and sell out clubs in San Diego, and you know, it's, you know, sometimes you kind of wonder like where were you assholes when we were like struggling a few years ago, you know. If you're going to try and describe a band to readers, the easiest route is by comparing it to something that they may have heard before. I understand that. I think that it's a bit simplistic, though. I mean, I know hundreds of musicians, and I don't think I know one person who, like, bases what they do on, like, one or two bands, you know? It's usually, like, 50 things or more. Or, really, with most people, it's everything that they like, you know? Everything they've ever been attracted to since they got into music or art in general. And, you know, it's... I think journalists really simplify things and kind of dumb it down, but... At the end of the day, I think that reflects more on the journalist. You know, if an intelligent reader, you know, listens to one of these bands, I think it's easy for the reader who's intelligent to go like, you know, okay, yeah, I hear a little bit of that, but it's not really fair to say this is like our generation's version of that. We'll be right back.
That was the track I Want to Kill off the 2009 Summer of Hate release. I hope you're enjoying our interview with Brandon and Charlie from Crocodiles. If you'd like any further information about Crocodiles, you can check out their MySpace, or you can check out their blogspot, killkillkillcrocodiles.blogspot.com. And if you'd really like some information about the show, our show that is, please check out www.northerntransmissions.com or email us at northerntransmissions@gmail.com. We discussed a bit about working with James Ford of Simian Mobile Disco and the recording of Sleep Forever.
So with the second album, we had a budget, and by that point, we had a manager and all this kind of stuff. And I think James' manager and our manager are friends, and I think James' manager mentioned to our manager in passing that he was a fan of our first record, so I think they started talking about it. We didn't really know that much about him, to be honest with you.
Sorry, whose manager were you talking to?
James Ford's manager. And our
okay.
So we had Simian Mobile Disco came through San Diego, and we had a meeting with him. I think we had sent him a few demos, you know, just to see if we were coming from similar places at all, and it was great. I mean, we hear the demo for the song "Stone to Death." It's the second song on Sleep Forever, and he said it reminded him of the Monks, which after like a year and a half of hearing that all we listened to was Jesus and Mary Chain and the Bunny Man, it was nice because we're huge Monks fans, you know. It was really cool to hear somebody say, "Oh, I can hear a Monks influence," you know, and like this is what I can help you do to pull some of this, pull some of this cool stuff out of that. And yeah, he was excited, you know, because he gets hired to make hit records, you know what I mean, by big labels. And this was like a pet project for him because there was no pressure from anybody to get a hit single. There was no pressure for it to have any kind of production value. It didn't have to be radio friendly. It didn't have to be anything, you know. So he was excited on that level to be able to, you know, fuck around with tape loops and make a bunch of noise and get a little bit experimental, because I don't think he usually gets that opportunity, although he loves that kind of stuff, you know what I mean. So he was excited, and we were excited just to have someone around who had more knowledge, you know. Like we're not the most, like, we don't have that much technical know-how, you know, so there might be something we know the sound that we want in our head, but we can only kind of describe it. We would need really an engineer, someone who knows the equipment and someone who's talented in that way to be able to pull that out. And James, you know, we really connected in that level. We could say something really obtuse about how we wanted a drone to sound, and he would fuck around with something and say, "Is this what you mean?" It would be like, "Oh, close, but a little bit cloudier," you know. He'd fuck around with it, and eventually, you know, very quickly, he would get what we were talking about, and yeah, it worked well.
Obviously, that was the last record I was recording, Joshua Tree. I've always been curious about that place. I've never been there. Was it a pretty cool place to record, like inspirational?
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful. It's it's a national park. It sort of has some sort of outer space type turned upside down aesthetic to it. It was really cool. It was pretty surreal because it was just 10 days of recording, so it was basically like every day was like a lot of diligent working on how, you know, we had to get a song done a day, and then also cram in lots of drinking, drugging, and tourist stuff, you know. So like every day was pretty full on. It was like recording, then go out and like, you know, just like see the sights, come back, record until like the late into the night, you know. And then even then, I feel like we were kind of buzzing from the whole environment, that we'd sometimes sit on the roof and just stare at the sky completely mashed, you know. But it was great. It was
really cool to be isolated, you know. And yeah, I mean, when he says tourists and stuff, he means nature around us, you know. So there was like no distractions, like the cool street in the city that has all the bars and the cool shops or whatever. There's nothing like that. Right. It was just, you know, record or go hang out outside in nature and shoot the BB gun, or climb on rocks and go look at
is Jackrabbits. I mean, our world was like the house, because the house that we recorded in was wall-to-wall musical equipment. So, like, it was like our world was the house with all the musical equipment.
We were living there
And then this vast landscape of just nothingness, you know, but beautiful nothingness.
Let's check out another track here from Crocodiles. This is a song in an album which we alluded to earlier. The track is Stone to Death off the 2010 album Sleep Forever.
Yeah.
thanks again for listening to Northern Transmissions. Thanks off the top to producer extraordinaire, savant, Spencer Carson for his excellent production and engineering skills. Thanks to Brandon and Charlie of Crocodiles for being a great interview. The last thing which I talked about with the guys was what they were up to lately and when we can expect a new record possibly. Oh, yes, and please follow us on Twitter at Northern Trans. That's Northern Trans. Thanks again.
Are you guys have another record in the can, or is it
yeah, it needs
recorded?
To be mixed and mastered, but it's all done being recorded.
Cool.
We finished it, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Really, yeah, it's been a month in Berlin.
I look forward to hearing it.
Doing that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little, right now it's like a little infant, you know? It's a little child.
It's a little baby.
It's a little sculpture that still needs to have some stuff chiseled to, you know.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
But it's like a little secret.
It's
cool.
Secret, right? We can't talk about it too much, right? I was going to say, like, production-wise, you have to kill me. Tell me then kill me, right? You're not allowed out with the confiscate that.
Yeah, we're just going to go back and record over this
part. Yeah, record it over. Give it back to me. Tie him up and take the ending.